So we'll continue tonight, as I mentioned to you, with the book of Dharmarmin. So Suffering with Christ, as I mentioned, it's kind of a compilation of a lot of his other works that they take and bring some of the thoughts together. And so tonight we'll discuss how we can cooperate in Christ's work of redemption, in a sense by sharing in his passion. And so it just means that a lot of times God will give us different crosses and trials in our lives. And so therefore then trying to accept those to the best of our ability is how we can truly then share in Christ's passion and what he underwent for all of us. And I mentioned there's some certain dispositions that Dharmarmin brings out. And through these dispositions, it will help us then to have then the proper way of looking at the crosses and trials that we receive, but then also benefiting from the different crosses and trials that God gives to us to help us then for our own soul to be sanctified. And so that is the thing that he mentions, to have a silent patience, a generous love, and then the filial abandonment then to God's will, to divine providence. And he says kind of that is the supreme form of love that we have, just abandoning ourselves over to Almighty God. So the first one is the silent patience. All we have to do is look at our Lord Jesus Christ as a model for us. He is the perfect example of patience. One, because he awaits then the hour of grace. He waits his hour, as I mentioned a bit last night, of how he awaits for this. He longs for it because of his sufferings, because of what he will undergo, because he realizes it is the means of redemption for mankind. It is the way for us to be redeemed. And so from that, he awaits for that. And it is out of a true love that he has, of why he is waiting for that hour. But then also when we look at our Lord, we look and we see how our Lord, how he was patient with others around him. The patience that he had for the souls that were around him, one being Mary Magdalene, of how here you have this woman that was living a sinful life. But then when she opened up to the graces that God presented to her, of just that illustration of God's merciful heart, I'd mentioned to you that a lot of the spiritual authors will say that the woman taken in adultery is Mary Magdalene. And from that, we see how our Lord would not condemn her, asking if there's anyone else that is there to condemn her. When she says no, he says, neither will I. Go and sin no more. But how also then we have, of how our Lord mentions, or we have in sacred scripture, just this whole idea of, because of the great love that she had, through that great love, that is why then her sins were forgiven. But yet our Lord had this great patience for her, to wait for her soul, to offer and extend the graces given to her soul. Many times it was rejected. Many times she would turn her back on these graces, living the sinful life. But Almighty God continuing to offer then her the graces of conversion, to come back. And I'd mentioned about the Samaritan woman, another example of our Lord's patience, another example of a woman who was not living a good life. But yet, our Lord still offering that grace to her, holding out to her sanctifying grace, life everlasting, and showing that patience with her soul. But I think also we just have to look at the patience that he showed toward his disciples. Our Lord's disciples, they were chosen by our Lord. You know, he handpicks these men. to go out to preach his word. But they had these 3 years to be with him publicly, to see his preaching, to see the miracles that he would perform. And yet our Lord had to put up with their bickering, disputing among themselves who was going to have the highest place, to the point that our Lord even asked James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, if they will drink from his chalice. And they immediately say yes. And yet we see with the disciples of how that they would turn their back on our Lord, being frightful, being fearful, that they would run from what our Lord was undergoing. And yet our Lord was still so patient with them. He would see the weakness of their faith, how they were slow to believe. And yet he continued to be patient with them, realizing that they were going to go out to eventually die for the faith, die for him, that he would just be patient with them until then they would understand, they would receive that grace at Pentecost. And so therefore we see how our Lord is this model of admirable patience. That he would endure even so far as having one who he knows would betray him. That he would continue to shower him with graces, to try, to have him close to him, yet knowing that, yes, the devil would enter into him. And yet our Lord knew that. He understood that. And yet we see still our Lord with his patience toward him, even referring to him as friend when he betrays him with a kiss, because that was a sign that Judas would then give to the soldiers, that this is the one. I mean, to the point that our Lord would look at him and wonder, why? Why are you doing this? Because of all that he had done for the apostles, for even Judas, and yet Judas would hand him over. And truly we can see that it is the mystery of iniquity, mystery of sin. We can't explain it. We don't understand it. But it is something for us to contemplate and to think about during this time, of how our Lord has shown this patience with the ones that were around him. But then also we can then make the application to our own souls, of maybe how patient our Lord has been with all of us. The patience that he has shown to our souls, even when we turn our back on him, even when we neglect the graces that he offers to our soul, that yet our Lord continues to be patient. He continues to offer us graces. And so we can look at it and examine. Are we like St. Mary Magdalene? Does God offer us graces and we continue to turn our back on it? Or even further, then we look at Judas, who betrayed our Lord. I mean, it's a strong comparison, but we also have to look at, in a way, I mean, when we commit a mortal sin, then we too are like Judas. We have betrayed our Lord. That we have betrayed him for all the graces and all that he has done for us and died on the cross. I mean, yet, it is harsh for us to think about, maybe. But yet, our Lord was this model of patience with these people and maybe with our own souls. And it is something for us to think about and to contemplate. How long will God be patient with us? I mean, what are we waiting for if, say, we're not in the state of grace? What are we waiting for then to come back to the fold, we can say? And that is something that we must contemplate, especially during this time, especially during Holy Week, because of the graces that are offered to our souls, just as it was offered to the Samaritan woman, just as it was offered to St. Mary Magdalene, and even we can say the graces of conversion for Judas, but he despaired. He despaired of God's mercy. And that is a sad thing, because Almighty God would have forgiven him, even for betraying the only begotten Son. Again, it is something that is maybe unfathomable for us to try to wrap our mind around that. I mean, we think maybe for ourselves, if someone has betrayed us, betrayed our confidence, or done something to us, do we hold a grudge? Do we not want to forgive them? Or then can we be like our Lord, where, well, yes, we would forgive them. We would be patient with their soul. I mean, again, we just have to look at our Lord in his passion. Here we have our Lord who is willing to suffer for all of us, being God, being innocent. And so we can see the different things that happened to our Lord. We can look at and see how they spat in our Lord's face, and yet our Lord did not turn away. Of how he was silent before Herod, who would then in a way mock him and treat him as a fool. And how he submits himself to Pilate, even though full well that Pilate only receives any power that he has over our Lord from Almighty God. Who then Pilate then in turn condemns him to death. This infamous death on the cross. And yet we see how our Lord acted during these times. Of how he accepted it because he realized this was the divine will. He did it because he loved his Father. He loved his Father and he wanted to be faithful to his will. Because in that way we can say that, yes, it was divine providence that fixed all of the events, all of the things, the circumstances that would take place at the time of his passion. That this was the means, this was the way for mankind to be redeemed. And I mentioned last night how our Lord would even say that the scriptures must be fulfilled. Because we have the prophecies about what our Lord would undergo, what he would suffer for all of us. And yet our Lord would always remain patient in suffering it. And so for us to look at that and to apply it to our own lives, we too must remain patient, because God is near us, we can say even more so, when he places his Son's cross upon our shoulders. And Dharmarmin brings up the point, he says, never do we give our Father in heaven more of the glory that he receives from our patience than in these moments of when we're suffering. Because all we have to do is look at his Son. His Son who fulfilled his will by being patient and suffering and carrying the cross that was given to him. And so therefore, the same thing for all of us, that the crosses and trials that God gives to us, he permits us to undergo, he sends to us, that his glory he receives from that when we are patient with that. And so that's where Dharmarmin says that is the right road to God. In a sense, the way of suffering, the way of the cross. It's a road which leads to Almighty God, despite the weaknesses that we have. And that is the thing that it comes back to the understanding of what St. Paul says. I will glorify in my infirmities. I will glorify because I am weak, because that weakness brings us back to Almighty God. And that's why it says in sacred scripture that God utilizes the weak things to confound the strong, because it illustrates the power of Almighty God. Because then when they succeed, these weak things to human nature, to mankind, when they see them as weak and yet they succeed, it all goes back to God. To where then they see that they had this strengthening coming from Almighty God. So our Lord's passion is nothing else than the triumph of divine weakness over all the strength and the wickedness of man. The weakness is just illustrating the fact of, to us, his death on the cross. And as I mentioned last night, the disciples, the two disciples that are going to Emmaus, for them they saw that as a weakness. Because he wasn't this earthly king. He didn't conquer to their eyes. But we know that our Lord conquered sin and death. We realize because of his death on the cross that he was able to conquer sin. And that it was how the devil was defeated. But in its apparent weakness to mankind, a quote-unquote a defeat. But truly it was not a defeat when we see what was accomplished by it. And so yes, this triumph of that over all the strengths, the wickedness of man. And so therefore that is why for us to try to understand and to see that if we are weak, we go to Almighty God for strength. To handle the crosses and the trials that God gives to us, because it is by that patience that we will share in the sufferings of our Lord. It is by your patience in bearing the cross that you will share then in our Lord's sufferings. And so yes, it will require from us a great patience to bear the cross, but then also a loving acceptation of it. And so that's why we say, let us accept willingly the mortification sent to us by divine providence. And I think that in this time period of Lent, maybe we can look back and we can see where God sent us different crosses and trials that we had no earthly idea that they would come to us, or even no desire that they would come to us. We didn't want them. But yet it is what God gives to us. And by that accepting of that, by embracing that as best we can, that is how we will make ourselves pleasing to God. And so just accepting that, by the patience that we show, in the apocalypse, our Lord is represented like a lamb, as if it were slain. It's one of the scriptural figures of Christ as a victim. Because he was this divine victim. The victim on the cross for us. And so that is why then also sacred scripture utilizes this analogy with the slain lamb. Because we can say, is it not characteristic of the lamb to let one do with it as one wills? To let itself be immolated without resistance. And that is why that is given to our Lord. Because our Lord, we can say, he didn't resist what was the will of his Father. Our Lord very easily could have fought any of it. Could have stopped it at any point. But that was not how his Father had willed it. And so that is why then our Lord is represented as this slain lamb. The prophet Isaiah, he symbolizes the Messiah in that way. And is even referred in saying, he is dumb as a lamb before his shearer. Just that idea of that willingness to suffer. That willingness to have it be done to him without putting up any resistance to it. To suffer in silence. For it is by patience that we possess our soul, and it is a great thing and a great source of strength to possess it so. It's by patience that we possess our soul. And so these are the things to try to contemplate. You know, how we can practice silence. Silence of the tongue. But then also silence of the movements of the passions, of reasons and reflections on the manner in which others act. All these different things that we can have a silence about. You know, we think of silence of the tongue. If we go on retreat or a day of recollection, how important it is for us to try to keep that silence. And how in the world there has to be noise. There has to be a constant noise for people. To the point that some people, they just can't even deal with the silence. Because that is the world around us. And so how important that is, the silence and understanding of how God speaks to us in silence. Silence of the tongue. And so that is for us to try to understand and seeing. This patience that comes from that. The patience in suffering, the patience in understanding that God will maybe send us different crosses and trials. And that we must try to bear them. And so I think it's good for us in the hours of our trials and sufferings to look at our Lord in his agony as he hung on the cross. Because as I mentioned, Dharmarmian bringing out, it's always good for us to contemplate and to think about that. Because it should. It should produce a sorrow for our sins in our soul. It should help us to understand that. And then through that, we will accept God's will. And it will become because we love God. We want to serve him. And that is the second, we can say, disposition, a generous love. Again, looking to our Lord as an example. Our Lord saying that the world may know that I love the Father, that he came to do his will. And as I mentioned, it is something that he comes to do his will because he loves his Father. And that's something that is very easy for us to reflect upon. You know, do we love God? How often it's very easy for us when things are going well that we do love God. But then when the crosses and trials come, do we still love God? That is why St. Francis de Sales had said, seek the God of consolations, not the consolations of God. That you seek first Almighty God, and if consolations come, fine. If they don't come, fine too. But if we're only seeking the consolations to be consoled by God, if we're only seeking those things, well, then when the consolations stop and maybe desolation hits, what will we do? A lot of souls will just give up and not serve God any longer because it became too hard. But that is a soul that does not have a generous love for God. If we truly love Christ, we shall not try to avoid the difficulties and sufferings that occur in the faithful practice of the duties of our state in life. We shall embrace them as our divine Lord embraced his cross when it was offered to him. How hard that is for any of us. To embrace the crosses and the sufferings that are a part of our daily life. Our duty of state. How many people are willing to say that they do that? Because it is hard. It goes against our nature. But that is where the proof is in the understanding of how much we love God. Are we willing to accept those crosses and trials? And as it says here, do we embrace them as our Lord embraced the cross? It's not that we have to go looking for them. God will send them to us when he sees that is necessary for the salvation of our soul, the sanctification of our soul. He will send us the different crosses and trials. So certainly we don't need to go looking for them. God will provide them for our soul. But then it becomes, do we embrace them when they do come? Or do we put up the resistance to it? Again, going back to the fact of how much St. Mary Magdalene resisted the grace of God at times. Do we resist those opportunities of grace for our soul? And granted, we can always try to look and see that maybe some have a heavier cross than others. Do we say that's unfair? Do we question God on why he does that? But we have to try to look and see that love gives them the strength to bear it. The love that they have for God will then help them to carry the cross that they have. And so therefore, let us not try to fear the trials that we may have. Because Dom Armian brings up the fact, he says, we may pass through great difficulties, serious contradictions, endure deep sufferings, but from the moment we begin to serve God through love, these difficulties, these sufferings, these contradictions, they serve to nourish the love we have. So he doesn't say that it becomes really easy then and it's all fine and no problem. He doesn't say that. All he's saying is if we try to serve God through love, then through these sufferings, these contradictions, these difficulties that we undergo, they will help to strengthen that love that we have for God. It doesn't take it away. It doesn't make it life a bed of roses. Not at all. All he's saying is it helps to nourish that love that we have for God. Because again, we just have to look at it in terms of when you have a true love for someone, you love them with their good qualities, you love them even with their bad qualities. Because you love them, you're willing to put up with sometimes those things. It's because you have a great love for that soul. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, a very good friend, whoever it may be. But that is the thing that you also must realize that with Almighty God. Do we really love God that we will serve him throughout the crosses and the trials as well as the good things? Or do we abandon him like the apostles did? And so he says, the cross establishes in us a greater likeness to Christ through the bearing of our own crosses. Because our Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is the open invitation to every single soul. If any man will come after me, will follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and then you can follow me. Because our Lord was given to us as this divine model. He's the one that we must try to follow. And so he says, in the generous accepting of our cross, we shall find union with Christ. That we will have this union with our Lord. The accepting of our own crosses. And so he asks the question, he says, how shall we refuse to accept from Christ's hands this sorrow, these trials, this contradiction, this adversity? Knowing full well that all these things come from divine providence. They come from the hand of God. As I say, yes, there's a natural instinct to just walk away from it. But then we must try to go beyond that. In trying to understand that these things come from God. They come from God to our soul. It's almost as if we say, well, we know better than God, so we don't really need this at this time. It's like, no, that's okay. I don't need this cross. You can take it back. But that is why Dharmarmian is trying to say, let us say to the Divine Master, I accept this share with all my heart because it comes from you. It's like, I am willing to share in this because it comes from your hand. Because our Lord's death on the cross, he merited for all of us at that moment inexhaustible graces of strength, resignation, and self-surrender. Those are graces that he won for our soul at that moment. He gives those graces to us. So again, do we accept him or do we not? So God often makes use of suffering in the spiritual life to develop our love. It's a trial. It's a test for us. It's a test for us to see whether do we really truly love God or not. And so in those such moments, the soul has to overcome itself, and that is the mark of strength of its charity, its love. So going back to this understanding of this divine love, the divine love that our Lord had in order to suffer the passion, to die on the cross. And it is that illustration then, the generous love that we too will have. So it is the merit of an act is measured by the degree of charity which the soul possesses at the moment it accomplishes the act. How much merit we receive is based on how much we love God, how much charity we have. That is how much we will gain from that. And so the generous love that we have, the true generous love that we offer to Almighty God, it is how much charity we have. That is why St. Paul says, if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, I am nothing. If I don't have a true charity, I can do all the different things. You remember St. Paul saying that. I can prophesy, I can do all these different things. It amounts to absolutely nothing. It amounts nothing for my soul if I do not have a charity, a love of God. And so therefore, we just look at our Lord and see. He made no act of love more intense than when in his agony he accepted the bitter chalice offered to him. To the point when our Lord had said, if this chalice can pass, let it pass. But then immediately accepting, thy will be done. There is no greater proof of our Lord's love than when he abandoned himself to his Father. So therefore, again, we see St. Paul saying, I most gladly will spend and be spent myself. Being spent for Almighty God. Of giving at all cost. because it is an illustration of the love that he has. So, Dom Marmion, it's, as I mentioned to you last night, that he always carried himself with a great joy, a great love. I'd like to say that's a characteristic of the Irish, but I know they're melancholic, so I don't think that's the case. So, it was because of his love for God that he was able to offer the crosses, the trials that he underwent with great joy. And so he asked the question, with all that our Lord suffered for us, can we not carry our cross with joy? Are realizing it pales in comparison to what our Lord suffered for us. And yet a lot of times we make our crosses out to be the heaviest cross there is. And so there, that is why we must abandon ourselves to God's will. And so that is the last disposition that he mentions. This idea of the filial abandonment. The abandonment that a son would have to his father's will. And truly we see that, obviously, the example for us of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the objective basis of holy abandonment is the divine will. But we also know that God wills our sanctification. St. Paul again brings it out, as I mentioned to you, Dom Marmion has a great love for the writings of St. Paul, so he quotes him quite a bit. And so God's will is our sanctification. He wants us to be holy. He wants us in heaven. That is why he is willing to continuously give us all the graces that we need. But again, it's hard for us to sometimes to accept that. But if we abandon ourselves to God, he will take care of us. With God's grace, we can do all things. As our Lord said, with me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And that is why Almighty God gave his only begotten Son to us. As a model. As a means for us to follow. And so it's important for us to understand that. You know, that famous quote that you see, probably quoted in several places, you even see sometimes even signs and painted even on buildings and different things. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But how true that is. How true that is for us to see that. And a lot of times we see the depictions of our Lord. Depictions of our Lord in his suffering. And that is how Almighty God, he gave his only begotten Son for us. And how our Lord was abandoned to the divine will. And so abandonment is first of all the consecration of oneself in faith and in love to Almighty God, to divine providence. And so love serves as the measure of this self-surrender. And the deeper love is, the more intense and active, the more complete and absolute it renders self-surrender. The more that you love Almighty God, the more you will be surrendering yourself to God. The more that you're willing to give yourself over to God. And so that's why Dom Marmion says the best form of mortification is to accept with all our hearts all that God sends or permits. He says that's the best mortification we can take on. It's the best way for us to mortify oneself. So he says, the good and the evil, the joy and the sufferings, all of these things to accept. And that's where he goes back into understand for us, abandonment is an act of faith. Because it's a confidence and a trust that we place in God. We believe in Almighty God, that He does want our sanctification. And also He says an act of hope, because you place yourselves in God's hands. But then also for us to understand, it is an act of love. An illustration of the love that we have for God. And so these are the dispositions that Darmarmian brings out. There's so much that can be said on the filial abandonment. But I think if we just try to look at it and try to grasp, what does it mean for our soul? I mean, I think through these things, we can just try to look at it and see that if we abandon ourselves to God's will, it will have from us a patience that we need to have in suffering, in accepting the crosses and trials. And that will stem from the generous love that we have. It'll come because of the love that we have for God. So finally, Darmarmian, he brings out and says, well, how do we produce these dispositions? How do we have this patience, this generous love, and this abandonment to God's will? As I mentioned to you, that Darmarmian, he refers to Christ a lot of times as Man of Sorrows. And so he will say, one of the first things that you need to do is the contemplation of the suffering Christ. A picturing to yourself our Lord's suffering for all of us. As I say, when we see sometimes the depiction of that famous quote of St. John, the 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is a lot of times that you see our Lord depicted in his suffering. And so this contemplation of the sufferings of Christ. Then also another means is for us prayer. Prayer is asking for the strength from God to help us to bear the crosses and trials that he will send to us. And then an offering of oneself to God and trying to unite yourself to the sufferings of Christ. And that is, we can say, what Darmarmian is trying to bring the soul to. In the writings of Darmarmian, he always illustrates the fact that Christ is the life of the soul. And so Christ is the life of the soul. We must try to unite ourselves to him. Unite ourselves to our Lord's passion, to his sufferings. And that is how we will truly love God. So through these things, to try to contemplate, and as I say, it's just a few ideas then for us to try to think about during this time frame. For us to be abandoned to divine will, it is hard. It is not an easy task for any of us. But by contemplating some of these things, maybe some of these ideas for us, it can help us to be more willing to accept. Once that we see that it is the will of God, our sanctification, so therefore if he sends us the crosses and trials, that is why he is sending it to us. And so let us be patient with the crosses and trials. Let us have a great love. And then be abandoned to God's will. And as I mentioned with St. Francis de Sales, when he said, seek the God of consolations, not the consolations of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.